Take our mouths and speak through them, our minds and inspire them, and take our hearts and set them on fire in Christ. Amen. Amen. As you may have gathered from our readings earlier, our focus tonight was women in salvation history. So to give us a little focus, I thought I'd do a quick read for you of salvation history without women in it. All right. Let's see. Okay, so Genesis 1. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male. And then the be fruitful and multiply and all the rest of it doesn't really work. So we'll go to the second one. Here's the second creation story in Genesis 2. These are my actual glasses that I wear at home, by the way, from CVS. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and all the things. And the man gave names to all cattle and to birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. And that's it. This is how far we got without women in salvation history. And all the rest of that never happens. Now, I'm not saying that there wouldn't be any salvation without women, because I think it's God's nature to rescue from loss and transform and create new things out of the void. But there wouldn't be any history at all. And the way we are pulled into God's story is through history, through our time, where God enters into our time and wraps us all up, everything that went before and everything yet to come, and holds us all through that plummet into death so we emerge with God on the other side into lasting life. So for our purposes, history, the history of creation and the people in it, is the medium for salvation. The first man was necessary but not sufficient to generate or sustain history. God's project of creation simply couldn't be carried out without earth creatures in forms that could unite together and bear forth a future, and that were designed and tasked by God to work together to serve as good stewards of creation throughout time. So if both are so obviously necessary and equal in value to God and creation, why is there such a heavy shadow tradition that women trade at a discount because they are women? And what is the cost to us of living under that shadow? "Women hold up half the sky" is a Chinese proverb. But in China, hundreds of thousands of young girls are trafficked into brothels each year, and about 39,000 female children die each year for lack of medical treatment because their treatment is delayed and boys is preferred. Women in China are not without some value, though. About 70% of manufacturing employees in China are women, and as one head of a toy factory was quoted as saying, "They're obedient and work harder than men, and we can pay them less." That seems reasonable. And like half the stuff in my house was probably made by these women. It's ridiculous. In countries like India, Pakistan, and Iran, there are high rates of forced prostitution for women. Education opportunities are often fewer for women than for men in the developing world, and violence against women and girls is routine. And we don't get a pass in the West. If women are half the people, like half the people, really, why aren't half the CEOs women, or half the composition of boards on for-profit organizations, half the screenwriters and producers of the media we consume ought to be female? A UN study from 2014 found that although different peoples are marginalized in every population across the globe, it is categorical that women are excluded and devalued everywhere. And if we have a capacity and habit of excluding or discounting 50% of the population, it becomes easier and easier to find more and more subgroups to marginalize and gently push to the side. In our story, salvation history is not a preparation for a future condition of salvation. It's an ongoing process that marks our lives as we live them today. So in our story, we don't include women fully based on preference, that they're nice to have around and have some functionality. It's that the future is not possible without women, and it's been so from the very beginning. According to United Nations and International Monetary Fund studies, closing the gender gap just in economies, if we're going to monetize this, would increase gross domestic product in the United States by 5%, which is $784 billion in 2014, Japan by 9%, and in Egypt by 34%. And for climate change, the number three most effective means, from someone who studied the real tangible ways we can reduce greenhouse gases quickly, the number three most effective method is to educate women and girls, because it teaches them about family decision making, both in terms of how big your family is, but also in terms of the habits and sustainability practices that are used in the home. Every dollar that goes into investing in women and girls comes back threefold. It comes back in the woman herself, her children, and then her greater community. Economists call this the girl effect, because we need it to be a little more patronizing, I guess. But I hear that as a 300% return on investment, although I think I'm not supposed to be very good at math. The more we write women out of the story in which they were positioned by God, the less salvation, the less rescue from loss and opportunity for transformational creation, the less we experience that in our own lives and in our children's lives and our grandchildren's lives. The blessing for us is that we here have the scripture and the community to change this story, to push back on a narrative where women are marginalized. Our scripture recognizes women as full humans, and that has been so shocking to patriarchal traditions over the years that there's been all kinds of effort to use the scriptures we read today to somehow oppress and marginalize and minimize the value of women. And we had a text today that was specifically from what's called the Inclusive Bible. Is there another kind? We tell the story of women in salvation history in no way over and against men, not at all, but in full partnership with the other 50% of our human community. We know that salvation is a process that is alive in our time. So what we do is we take the glimpses that we've been given by God of what the kingdom of God looks like, what the dominion of God is, and we see if what we're observing in the world lines up with what we know of the kingdom of God. And then we work with God to bend our history in the shape of God's vision to the extent that we have access into that. Similar to the way God lovingly formed the earth creatures in the very beginning, we can shape history. If we're not seeing a recognition of the full dignity of every human being in the way women are treated, then we can bring our Christianity to bear against that and to change that story, to illuminate that women are full people and it is better for the world to participate fully and with power. And we're fortunate here to have a space where women are full participants in the community. If you're feeling called to do more, listen for opportunities here. Junior brought opportunities to serve, to push back on human trafficking, and Claudia recently went to Cuba to support women there, and there will be other opportunities announced in this space. We'll keep an ear out for them. We celebrate our salvation story because it has a good ending. And it's energizing. The current conditions of women globally are not great, but they are not limited to despair. They are an opportunity. I'll leave you with the story of Matai, a Kenyan woman, who noticed that in her hometown in Kenya, local women particularly were suffering because of industrial agriculture and deforestation. They had lost a lot of their local means of production. And it occurred to her that if women planted fruit trees, which grow relatively quickly, The women could produce wood for fires and fruit for eating, and they could sell both of those items for income for their households. So they started planting trees, and that ultimately became something called the Greenbelt Project, which is ongoing today. Women hold up half the sky. Mattai observed great suffering, but what she was really excited by was what she said is the opportunity we now have to reimagine everything, to reimagine work, to think of it as productive, not only of things, but of well-being. What an opportunity. What a time to be alive. We're not only being, but we're non-being and becoming. Through the twilight of Holy Week, we are all of these things. We're in our being, we go through the experience of coming undone, and now into becoming new. Women are and have always been a part of this. What an exciting time to welcome women's voices even more. God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, God created them. Male and female, God created them. And God blesses them. Amen.